To everyone's surprise, not really no one's surprise, Dragon Ball Super is continuing and the death of physical media is upon us.
Nana, what was that about physical media death, bro? Dude, like, you snuck that one in there.
I don't want to break the news to you, man.
It's all right. I've already seen it, bro. It truly is the end times, bro. It's actually over. It's never been more over than it is right now today. But we'll get into that after you go ahead and cut up. Like, you know, after an intro, you usually give us a little post intro, a little like,
yeah,
you know, a little soft teaser. Go ahead. You got one for us?
You know what, man? Are you surprised that Dragon Ball Super is going to have a continuity and it's not over? Does that surprise you?
What? No. Also, I know we're basing this off the fact that another volume came out and the image is not complete.
Yeah.
Let me be the first on the train that it would not shock me if they were just like, nah, it's whatever, just end it. I wouldn't be shocked by it. I do think it is strong evidence that it will continue, though.
Here's the thing. So when I first, and I think we've talked about this on podcast, so I won't yap about this too much, but when I first got into this space and like pre being Nanogenix, the YouTuber, just being Tyler, who used Nanogenix as his online alias on Xbox Live and League of Legends and PSN and blah, blah, blah. Like, I didn't think too deeply about a lot of things about, you know, in the realm of Dragon Ball. I just love collecting figures, collecting cards, playing the games, you know, watching a little bit of it, playing a little Dokkan, you know. And I get in here and people started saying crazy things like if Nozawa ever passed away, they probably would retire like Dragon Ball. And I remember kind of eating that up, Dotto, being like, yeah, you're probably right. Like, you know, she's super iconic. She's the voice of, you know, Goku. But the more that I've been here and the more you get sort of used to things, like at the end of the day, Dragon Ball is this massive IP that is making like tons of guys in suits on the back end who probably don't care at all about the series, but they care about the money it makes them. They will never let this series die, no matter what happens. And so I'm saying all this because I think a lot of people, I did see this sort of like spark back up a little bit when Toriyama died and passed away. We lost him last year. And it's like, and as unfortunate as it is, you know, the cogwheel of capitalism here, it's never going to go away.
Oh shit, it got fucking deep cut there for a second, dude. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't expecting you to get so fucking real for a second.
One thing
I heard on that is like, I definitely kind of got gaslit by, I guess, just my timeline and just not anybody in particular, but just kind of something I thought is that Toriyama personally chose Toyotaro as like a successor. And I recently learned that maybe that isn't it. This is the most podcast shit of all time. I'm just saying something I think I kind of read, but it didn't seem that like loving. When I think of picking a successor, that's kind of like, I would imagine like you going to your son and be like, you're the man of the house now. I trust you with this shit. But like, apparently I read it's not really that deep. Like, he just kind of, Toyotaro came to them. He's like, I want to draw Dragon Ball. And they gave him some mini projects. And then he worked his way up and they were like, yeah, I guess you're the guy. Which is, it doesn't take away from him. You know, I think he does a good job. But it definitely, like, I don't know. It's more realist, I guess, to me. But do you have a problem with it, though? Like, I guess no. I don't really have a problem with just, you know, doing what it's going to do. If people have a hunger and people can tell stories and people can do what they want to do, obviously you're free not to like it anymore. Anybody can do that. But I've said before on the podcast, I am always a big, you know, guy that will just say, hey, give me all you can give me and I'll decide when enough's enough. And then I'll just go fuck off and do something else.
I'm definitely, you know, you can say like, oh, typical consumer, but like, I don't know. I seek these things like Dragon Ball is that sort of that thing to disconnect me from the real world, from, you know, we're recording this in April. I just got through wrapping up. Actually, my taxes aren't wrapped up, right? Like, there's so much going on with the tax stuff. Side for me with like the business and all of that, and like, anyways, so like that's my escape to not have to think about all those things. And so if they can provide that to me for 20 or 30 minutes, like, because it's not that deep, right? It's an anime, then I'll take it. But not to add to what you said and be another, have another podcast sake, but since the last time we recorded a podcast, there's another thing that was brought to my attention, Dotto, and I want to see if you've heard this too. Apparently, so you know they, you know, I. This, I know this means a lot to the fandom whenever those words come up and says, like, you know, Toriyama was directly involved. Like, that means a lot to people. But apparently, and maybe this is full on rumor, so do not, you know, I just want to see if Dada's heard this. Daima was fully conceived by some, by people at Toei, and then was brought to Toriyama, and he cleaned up some of the story beats, and he cleaned up some of the aspects of it, and added his own lore, but he actually did not create Daima. Is this true? Have you heard this?
I have no idea if it's true. I have not heard it, but to be honest, I've always kind of thought this anyway. Like, literally, I don't know if you've maybe felt this. I feel like every fucking Dragon Ball project since Dragon Ball Z ended has been like, this is the most involved he's ever been. This is the most involved he's ever been.
We've heard that a lot.
Yeah, it's a marketing line. I get it. But for some reason, with Daima specifically, it's like people really like, that was everything. It's like, how dare you fucking not like episode 6, dog? Like, this is it. And I get it. You know, emotions are a little high with Daima because of what it represents. But you know, just as a realist, you know, I didn't know the guy. I don't know Toriyama, so I don't know what he actually did or how much he contributed or how much it was really his thing. It wouldn't surprise me at all, though. It literally was always a marketing line. Not a bad one, too. It's like the original creator likes this. You like the original creator. It's like how game company, it's this, I look at it as the same, how it's like from the creators of Halo comes Marathon. It's like, bro, not fucking all, but maybe three people that were on the Halo team are still at this shit, dude. It's like, what the fuck does that even mean? It means nothing. But what it does is it's a good little thing to put on a trailer. It's like, oh shit, they made Halo.
Yeah, I liked Halo. Wait, maybe I do. Yeah, I liked
Halo. Maybe I do like Marathon. Maybe I'll buy Marathon.
Wait, it's so like, does Marathon do anything for you?
I've never played a big extraction thing. I think it could be fun, but because I know it's become like it, immediately for some reason it became like another one of those games that people just kind of talk about and bicker over.
Yeah, Concord.
But
it's literally the next Concord.
Yeah, it's like another kind of Concord, not as big. I haven't gotten that vibe, but to me, it's just like with Concord, I actually could see that angle. I was like, yeah, I could see why they'd be saying this. With Marathon, I'm a little confused, and also. I don't know. To me, this is what I was going to say. When I first saw it, I dead ass thought Marathon was like the name of the next Destiny 2 expansion. It looked just like Destiny again. So it's not like it's almost like what you in our last podcast with Sparking Zero, how you were like, they got to iterate on it now that they have all the assets. I kind of feel like they were just doing that. Like it's their breakers for real. So I'm not super. Hey, whoa now. It ain't that crazy. I don't mean it that crazy. I'm just saying, like,
bro is damning that game, dog, dude.
I'm just saying, don't be surprised when you know your favorite Destiny character shows up as a little keychain in Marathon. You know, like that.
Cade is like a Cade.
Yeah, immediate Cade keychain. I tried it because it was from the makers of Halo. So I tried the first one, and then I was like, all right.
So
I never was a big raider. I'm sure if I played a raid, I would be like, I'm tapped in.
Raids were a ton of. I won't go off on a Destiny tangent, but I will say, like, for me, Destiny 1 did not hit at first, but then I came back for Taken King, and when Taken King dropped, I did like we did everything with this was when I worked my previous job and had like a whole crew. Everyone there played Destiny, and so that was a blast. Taken King was a blast. Destiny 2 did not get its hooks in me. But like the thing that I'm interested in with Marathon, and the thing I will always give them is they have definitely, you're right, there probably is not that many people at Bungie there who made Halo, who made Halo 2 or had their hands in Halo 3, whatever. But there is something about that company that they do seem to always nail the feel that I like anyway in a shooter. So if Marathon has that like that formula to it and like it feels good and like I kind of like the sort of process of hopping in and extract, if they can nail the process of the extraction shooter, because I tried like Tarkov, holy shit, and maybe I just tried it when it was at its peak, you know, when oh my gosh, what is the person's name that like blew up on Twitch from that I don't know, it started with a P.
I can't help you, dog, you are on anyways, your own right now.
Anyways, there was a streamer that started with a P, maybe one of you guys will know, they blew up off Tarkov. And I remember I tried playing then, and dog, it was like a 30 to 45 minute queue to hop in. Then I got in, and then I didn't know what the hell I was doing, because like it is very tactical. It is very like there's just a lot to it. And I died, and I was like, what the fuck do I do now? And like I was just like, and I just never touched it again after that. I tried one time with my friends at a a land thing that we did, and that was the end of it for me, because I was like, I'm good. So if they
I think it could be fun.
Make it fast. Like, I feel like they'll add their sort of bungee spin. It'll be very fast paced. It will, like, I don't know. If it's like a Helldivers type experience again, where it's like $30 or something, and I can hop in and I can have fun with it for a couple months, like here and there, I don't know. It might be worth. Anyways, back to Dragon Ball. So the whole point of this, and Dotto said it, is we got our most recent manga volume, and it continues that sort of spine picture, and the picture is not done. And to no one's surprise, Dragon Ball is continuing. Now, we are a bit late on covering this. This was actually a few weeks ago, but I still wanted to talk about it because it was still Dragon Ball news. And Dotto, do you think presumably Black Frieza is the next arc, right? That's what that's where they'll go with it now that they've done they're done with their superhero detour. Do you think that is in a way they'll finish off Super with the Black Frieza arc? Or do you think it's just a continual, like, do you think Dragon Ball Super is going to be the IP that
I just think they'll go back to keeping it running again.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll end it. If Daima was more successful, maybe they would have considered, and maybe they still are considering it, just doing branching timeline kind of stories, but I don't know. I think they'll probably end it with Super, to be honest. Or maybe go into like a one final like show, like do GT again, but do it right.
Do you think there's
Shadow Dragon specifically?
Do you think there's ever a world where they let Goku sunset?
No.
Yeah, same.
No, I don't think so. And I think that was a bold thing to even try back in the day, to be honest. I think it was bold.
I think for me, what I think is really cool, and so we lightly talked about this, I think maybe in the bonus for Sparking Zero, which there is bonus for this one. We did an entire bonus podcast in person that you can watch by becoming a key member, clicking join on YouTube or going to patreon.com/keymoments, and then you get access to all the other bonus content that we've been doing. We've been doing this for a year and a half now. So that's a year and a half. Every time we put out a podcast, we do some level of bonus content. That's a year and a half of weekly uploads, bonus content weekly. You get just like that. And for those of you that are always supporting us, we appreciate you guys. And, you know, maybe we'll have some cool stuff coming soon. So just stay tapped in, and thank you guys for all the support. But, anyways, my kiddo, when he saw us, we were trying to figure out a game to play, right? And again, we don't play a ton of games because, modern gaming for kids, by the way, Dotto, very difficult. There's not a lot of couch co-op experiences that aren't.
Yeah, dude, I always think about couch co-op is so dead now. It's like, damn, bro, like this shit used to, like I used to buy games if it said co-op on the back of it. And now, like, kids got nothing.
And then even more so than that, like, we just got Split Fiction, which is a cool co-op experience. I can't play that with my 7-year-old. Not only can I not play with my 7-year-old because of the context, but also because I think that game, from what I could tell, that game actually has some like somewhat difficulty to it. And so there's no way he could play it. But also, I'm just not playing that game with my 7-year-old.
That's not a game for kids. Yeah. It's just like, it would be very boring to a kid anyway. Like, you'd get one mission in and he'd be like, I'm done.
Yeah. So
it's just kind of ass.
He saw Sparking. Like, he really likes Goku. So I guess to pick back up on the corporate bootlicker, like, oh, I'm consumer and I'll just consume anything type thing, I personally think it'd be cool if Dragon Ball just continues forever. And it's like this thing that I can relate to my 7-year-old with. And then at some point, if he has kids, I can relate to their kids, because Goku is just this just continual icon. And I know, like, yeah, you could go watch Dragon Ball at any point in time, but I think that new series will always be more relatable for people. So like right now there's a generation of people that we're probably talking to, you know, right now with this podcast that are super heads, right? I have this talk all the time with my Legends friends on Legends, which I think is a much more Zoomer type game than like say a Dokkan Battle. Like, on Legends, people care way more about the Dragon Ball Super stuff than they do about anything else, right? Like, if you were to tier list it, Super is at the top, then, like, GT and Z are probably in the middle, and then, like, OG Dragon Ball and Daima are probably closer to the low. Like, Daima, from what I can tell, did not connect with Super heads, like, really at all, it doesn't seem like.
I don't think it got out there, to be honest. Yeah. I think it was the concept was too boring, the time selection was too whatever, and I think it was a mistake.
So with that
even
in
though
mind,
I enjoyed most of it.
No, yeah, we enjoyed, dude, if you've watched this podcast any amount of times, you know we enjoyed it. But I think, like, with that in mind, I think you need to have that continuity, that continual in your face thing, and like that, I think that will be cool if somehow, which would be very different from me and my relationship with my grandfather, like if my grandkids are into Goku, because Goku is still this like omnipresent being continually in media with new series, that's really cool to me. Like that, like yeah, that aspect, I mean, of it, that's super cool.
Bro, I want to be a fucking 70-year-old dude just fucking laying in my reclining chair in my last days, and then like my like 14-year-old great-great-grandson comes up and goes, "Hey, did you see Dragon Ball Super where Goku takes on?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I caught that one. That one was good. That was good." Like, I think that shit would be cool.
Yeah, that's sick.
Because we're definitely not going to be able to relate to them on other stuff we like games, bro. You see what I'm doing here, Nano? You see? Do you see this segue, bro? Are you getting on with me?
Bro,
are you getting on with me right now?
Masterclass. Holy shit.
Yeah, let's go. We're not going to be able to connect with them. Get on the segue. Buckle up. This one's going to get crazy. Because as we've just found out today, as we're recording this, the game key card situation has become more clear with the Nintendo Switch 2. You know, you did a better job of explaining game key cards when they were around. But basically, if, for those that don't know, game key cards are going to be like, you're not going to have access to the full physical game. It's going to be you slot in the cartridge. It acts as a key that unlocks your ability to play your digitally downloaded game, pretty much. At first, I wasn't really worried about these because, well, at first I was, because I thought it was going to be every single game. Then
people were
it was
like,
confirmed
not
it was
be that many, you know.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
It's not every single game. It's not going to be that many. Donkey Kong is not. Mario is not, you know, like Mario Kart. And I was like, okay, like then maybe it's like the old school one where, you know, the Switch had a lot of game key card games, like they weren't called that, but you know, it's just like digital download games. Like you buy a physical copy and you but there's no physical copy. It's just a code. You know, Scott the Waz talked about it all the time and I was like, "True, true." Now though, Gamatsu just put out a tweet. Switch 2 game pre-orders have been up in Japan for a few hours, revealing all physical third-party games so far, except Cyberpunk 2077, that are not Nintendo Switch 2 editions, will be shipping on game key cards. So what this is this is a big-ass picture of games with some big ones, like Daemon X Machina, Titanic Scion, game key card. Puyo Puyo Tetris,
Sonic
game
Shadow
key card.
Generations as well, Street Fighter 6.
Game key card, all of them. It's like, dude, what the fuck? This is a lot. Like, I hope I'm not making a big fuss about this. This seems like a very large sample size to the point where, I mean, what? Who's not going to just make it a game key card at this point? It's the obvious, easy thing to do. And if it's this much, it's this acceptable, it's cooked, bro. Like, what do you? What's your take on it, Nano?
Yeah. So I. This is somewhere in that middle spot. So obviously it is better than right now. Sony be pissing me off, dude. So I'm on my like super crazy physical game collection, right? Like I want to own, if it has a physical game, if it has a physical copy and it's a game I care about, I want to own it. And the benefits to that, and we experienced this is, or I just recently experienced this. Do you remember when PSN was out like 2 or 3 months ago?
Yep.
So when PSN was out, I didn't have, so I've got a PS5 I have sitting here for recording, and then I have a PS5 like that I don't use for work, right? So I've got two of them. So I guess that's on some like privilege bullshit, but it's just because like I literally use one for work anyways. And the one that I had set up in the living room to play Death Stranding on was not my quote unquote main PS5, and because the PSN was down, I could not play any of my games because it couldn't authenticate my account. And if I had owned Death Stranding on PS5 as a physical copy of a game, like the physical copy, I could just put it into the PS5 and played it, and I would have been fine. So when you come forward, this is better than what, the reason why I was yapping on Sony. Sony's collector's editions, which I love Sony first party games, they come with digital codes. So this is better than a digital code because at least like I can play Sonic Shadow Generations, and when I'm done with it, I can hand it to Dotto, and he can like take it wherever he wants, and he can put it in his Switch 2 and play it and whatever. So it's better than a one-time code, but it is still dog shit if the Nintendo Switch servers are down. Like, oh, cool, I got home with this new game. Oh, fuck, the Nintendo Switch servers are down this weekend. You literally can't do anything with that. It's just, it's a literal paperweight. It is a literal paperweight.
Like, I think you're right. I mean, like, and I want to know, like, how do these... What do you think, like, because do you think these game key cards will probably work in situations with no internet, or are you going to need an internet connection, like on a plane?
I would
like,
want,
do you think
I
the game key
to,
would work?
I would want to believe that if you had it, like you obviously you're saying like in a situation where you already got to download it.
Yeah, would, like on a plane you have the game key card and you just put the game key card in.
Yeah, it, so that would negate, I'm presuming this would, because also Nintendo does this too, because I kept my original Switch and then I have my I kept my original Switch for my 7-year old to use, and then I have the my OLED model. My OLED model I made as my main, and so the original Switch, if he does not choose, like if he chooses a game that obviously like we bought digitally, he has to play as me because he can't play. And so I took it one time and it, I couldn't play Dotto because the Switch couldn't authenticate. And obviously I'm on a plane, couldn't authenticate. So my guess is because these game key cards are going to act as the authentication point, it will allow you to play them on an airplane or somewhere without internet. So that is maybe the one slight positive to these, but the negatives outweigh it tremendously, because the thing is that memory's gotten so cheap, Dotto. Like if you look at hard drives, like SD cards are so dummy cheap, and they're even cheaper for companies like this who are mass, you know, making 100,000 copies of Sonic Shadow Generations to the Switch 2. Why can't we, and that game's not even that big, why can that not just be on the damn game card, dude?
Like, bro, you got Puyo Puyo Tetris on here. It's not about size, bro. This is Puyo Puyo Tetris. It's like 3 gigabytes, which there's no way somebody can't get in there and reduce that if need be. But like, bro, this is just like when you make it the lazy option, like the way to go, like you're done, bro. Like it's over.
This is the question that we can't answer, Dotto. So I recently was like, just looking at games for me to be able to play with my kiddo. And as we just talked about, it is getting harder and harder to find games, but he's really into Minecraft. But like, sometimes we just want a more chill experience. I was like, what about that Telltale series? There's a Telltale Minecraft series. And I was like, that'd actually be kind of cool. Like some nights we could do that instead of, he gets to watch one show a night. And I'm like, we could play like an episode or part of an episode of a Telltale series, dude. That game is, because, you know, Telltale went under, that game, you can't play that game. That game has been delisted. So what happens if Street Fighter VI, like, loses the rights to something and it's delisted? Can I still download it? And if I can, for how long will Nintendo allow that to take up server space when it's not making them any money? They can't sell it digitally anymore. Like, it's been completely delisted. So at what point do we hit a threshold to where that Street Fighter 6 versus 1 and 2, at what point does that not do anything for you because you have this cool game key card that you paid $70 for in 2025? You know what I mean?
It is just a matter of like, and don't get me wrong, I feel like when we talk about this, there's a chance of coming off as very like, oh, these guys just love old fucking physical games. When I was a kid, I switched over to digital as soon as possible. I was like, I don't want to fucking stand up and switch out my games, man. Like, this shit is cool.
This is a recent thing for me, actually. I fully embraced it for a really long time.
But like, the only reason this isn't a problem is because, and I have general certainty. It's like kind of like an economy type situation. Like, I feel like my Steam library is going to be around my entire life. It's just a feeling I have. Like, Steam kind of has that safety feature. But you're right, when shit falls off, because shit can fall off for a lot of reasons, like rights is a big one. Like for a while I couldn't, they, and again, it also companies decide it, because my thing is like with Metal Gear Solid, I wanted to play through 2 and 3 and you couldn't buy them on Xbox because it just was not, you're not allowed, you can't do it, they don't sell that right now. You can look at the picture on the store, but you can't.
Isn't
that, because
crazy,
eventually they were going to come
where, like, the remnants of where it existed, but you can't do anything
about it. It's like, no, we don't sell it no more, but like, we haven't deleted it. So you can see, like, we used to sell it, but no. And I always wonder when these things are going to come to pass. It's like, I don't know. It's like a grim future, dude. Cause eventually it's just a matter of how long. Cause obviously no one really gives a fuck about eventuality. If like, if it outlasts the human's lifespan, people generally like, can't really be asked to give like anything, but like, it is kind of sad knowing that if you're a human born in the year 5336, your ass is not playing Puyo Puyo Tetris on the Switch 2. It's just not gonna happen. But you probably could go out and find like a gaming historian who owns a PS1 and you could play Crash Bandicoot. Yeah, like that's a lot more likely than any of this stuff. Up to a certain point, I definitely think at some point, like, things are going to be so easy to like snatch and store that digital will be just as safe and foolproof as like physical, if not more so, because it can't be physically destroyed.
Yeah.
But nah, it definitely, there's definitely a huge benefit of just owning the shit and being able to put it in, and that's it.
I think specifically for me, this feels like a bigger, I don't know, like, because Switch games, I don't know if you pay attention to the resell market on these, but Switch games hold way more value than most others, right? Like, I do own some games digitally, and I really am kind of, like, pissed off at myself for some of the games I've bought digitally. Like, I bought a Pokemon, so that digital storefront, brother, they'll sometimes get you because you can pay $100, and then that you can get, like, a Nintendo, like, game, like, a Nintendo Game Pass type thing where you can get two games for $100. So you're technically saving, like $20, right? So you're paying $100 for two brand new games. And I've done that a couple times. I did that for Pokemon, and I believe I got Ultimate Alliance 3. Two games that I really wish I owned physically now, because I just wish I would want them to be a part of my physical collection, but I own them digitally. And the Pokemon game for sure hurts, because like Pokemon games hold value better than probably almost any other game. Like, it's crazy how valuable Pokemon games retain value. And so seeing Switch games do this, like PS5 games, which, by the way, I got into an argument with a guy in the mobile game space named Zahal, because I wasn't aware that PlayStation games were doing this, Dotto. And it's not too prevalent on PlayStation. Like, the examples aren't too prominent. Not like this, where I'm staring at a whole screen right now of, like, fairly launch window titles, or maybe straight-up launch window games that are all just game key cards. But, like, Hogwarts Legacy, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, like, third-party games on PS5 are just, you put the disc in, and then it downloads the game, not from the disc, even though the disc is big enough to hold it, because Ultra HD dual layer Blu-rays can hold that much data, but it's just you put it in your PS5 and it downloads the game from the PSN. But I got an argument because I didn't even know they did this. I wasn't aware this was. Did you know they did this, Dotto? I guess more Xbox games are doing it, but
I know a lot of companies do that. Like, but I didn't know. I don't know which specific games, because no, I didn't know that. I just knew it was a thing.
Got it. Well, I got into an argument with him because he said, like, why are we upset about these game key card? Why do we have this energy towards Nintendo and not the same energy towards Xbox and PS5? And so there's a bit of ignorance on my initial reply to him, because I wasn't aware companies were doing this. Well, it still is nowhere near as prominent as what I'm seeing here with this screenshot, which is like damn near all the third party games are looking like game key cards at the moment. And you know damn well that Cyberpunk 20, or well, no, wait, is Cyberpunk, are they saying that Cyberpunk 2077 is not a game key card?
I believe so, yeah.
Or okay, which I guess is great, but anywho, this is a lot, and it's only going to grow, because if they're doing this at initial launch, like, this is probably going to be mostly the standard. Like, these companies, I'm sure it's cheaper for them to do a game
that's
key card.
That's so. The big thing for me is, like, Daemon X Machina is kind of shocking. Puyo Puyo Tetris is like, bro, it's over. Like, what are we doing, bro? Like, Puyo Puyo Tetris? That's, like, on this list, the only one that I would have been like, okay, is, like, maybe Street Fighter? I don't know. Like, that's it for me, though. Like everything else is like, dude, we're just phoning it in, huh, fellas? It's not something we want to do.
It's also sad. Like, think about from a kid's standpoint, like, especially with a Switch. I mean, like, a lot of kids have Switches. You think you've got a mobile handheld that you're going to be able to walk out of a Best Buy or walk out of wherever with this, and you're going to put it in the car, and it's going to do fucking nothing. like you can't, like, Dotto, I couldn't be, like, visiting you and, like, back at the hotel, like, oh shit, I just got home with Daemon X Machina, or just got back to the hotel with Daemon X Machina. I'm screwed. I can't play that game, even though I just spent $60 at a Best Buy on it, because I have to download a, like, 30 gig file that I can't. I mean, I could come to your house, I guess, but this is, you know, just random weird scenario. I can't play that game, and because I can't download that on hotel Wi-Fi. That's nuts. That's like, I know these are all very specific examples, but it's just crazy that this is the standard that we're going to. And I get it. We're going to an all digital future. Like, I guarantee you two generations from now, and like,
nah, it's over. Like, it's actually, I mean, it was always going to be over, but yeah, no, I wanted to take a moment to talk about it on the podcast, because I do feel like this is a stepping point. This is going to be remembered as like a moment. Like, yeah, when Switch 2 came out and them game key cards hit, Never the same after that.
Have you picked up any physical games lately, or you chill on that right now?
No, I haven't really been doing that. I've been wasting money more on basketball. Like I because the season's going on, so I've just been buying basketball tickets. All my fun money's been going to that.
Oh, that's probably a lot. And
I just bought airplane tickets. No, they're not. Although you can, bro, honestly, I'd be going to Orlando Magic games. Like, there are some spots that are pretty good for cheap. But I've been really, dude, one thing that is on my bucket list, and I'm gonna have to do this alone, bro, or at least before I have kids, or like, I'm not bringing anybody with me because it's already expensive enough. I really want to sit courtside. Like, honestly, just sit there. And I'll probably hate it. I'm not going to lie. It probably is actually uncomfortable because I don't want to fucking, like, hear what the players are saying. I just want to watch the game, but I don't know, bro. It's like a bucket list thing for me.
So I've made it a point of mine, Dotto. I'm trying to collect all the Sonic games within reason. I'm not paying someone a dummy amount of money for Sonic Adventures and Sonic Adventures 2. Like, I'm just probably not doing that. But I'm trying to collect all the Sonic games, trying to collect all the TMNT games, trying to collect all the Marvel games, and trying to collect all the DC games. And then any cool little shits that I see from here and there. So I recently picked up Sonic Heroes. Have you ever played that one?
Yep.
I've not played it, but like, it looks really cool. Is that game fun?
Sonic. Well, I ain't gonna lie, bro. You talk about Sonic games. Most of the answers are yeah, if you like Sonic games, I guess. Okay. Like, Sonic Heroes was good, but holy fuck. What it's about not Max that good. Payne? Max Payne is good. That's good.
Yeah, so I got Max Payne 1 and 2. I've had some random side quests, some like Rockstar published. So we just talked about Bungie. Do you know Bungie made a Rockstar published game back in 2001?
Nope. What game is that?
It's an anime ass game, dude. Hang on. Let me show you this. So it's called Oni. You ever heard of this?
Oni. Maybe.
It is one of the prettiest game cases I've ever seen, dude. Look at this. I'm sending it to you on our chat right now. And I'll give it to Tosi so he can pop it up. Look at that. Look at how much style that has, dude. So one of the things too, I guess while I'm on my podium of physical media. What? You don't like it?
I think it's fun. I think with everything I know about you, like you like this style, but I like the silver background. I like that texturing it has.
Dude, I don't know. But one thing I will say that has kind of gotten sad is the spine of most PS5 games and most modern games do not reflect the logo of the game, and they're literally just like Times New Roman or oh my gosh, what's the A word that's like the Arial. They're like an Arial font, like on the spine. Whereas like PS2 games, PS3 games, they would have the logos on the spines. Now it's just like Sonic Shadow Generations just says in an Arial font on the spine, Sonic Shadow Generations. And I'm like, that just tells you how, like, they just don't care about physical media anymore. But anyways, I really like this Oni cover. Not a laugh at it, but that is a Bungie game. So that's the game that they made, I guess, right before Halo 1. They made this game. And it's a Rockstar-published Bungie game that is a third-person, like,
action. I just looked up. There's a limited edition Dark Horse comic book about this. That's cool to me.
Oh.
That was the last thing I collected was the Dragon Ball comics.
So I'm like really deep into this physical media thing. And the other thing too, that because I have just been like, my kids want to play games and stuff. And so I'm like, why do I feel so restricted to like PS4, PS5, you know, like Xbox games when I could just buy like some cool PS3 games, like some PS2 and PS3 games. Cause like that's back when couch co-op was so prominent. And so I picked up like, just some like older games like for us to play like on the older consoles. And like they're not picky about, especially my kid coming from, I guess that's the one benefit of the Switch being like a handheld underpowered console, is that he's not used to games looking very good, because most Switch games are pretty ugly, especially third party games. I mean, it's just the
We've
truth.
Evolved backwards. No, you're accurate.
And so he can't even really tell the difference between a PS2 game and his Switch. Like we played a PS2 game the other day and he didn't even say anything about it. Whereas he has a couple of times said something about, like, I don't know, when he'll see me playing something like super, super old. And same thing with like Pokemon. Like his only Pokemon experience outside of watching me play a bit of Scarlet is playing Fire Red. So like, I'm so excited when we're done with Fire Red, which he's almost done. He beat my ass, by the way, Dotto.
What happened? So, like how? Did it erase?
So no. In Pokemon.
Like in a battle?
Yes. So he has, so I got to check his save, because obviously you have to save before you dive in. Like it like, I don't know if they do that in the modern games, but in the old games, you have to save. Anytime you do a trade and anytime you do a battle, like you have to do a save before you actually like go into the Coliseum to fight. And so I got to see his hours. This kid has logged 27 hours over the last 4.5 months in a Fire Red.
And he's been grinding.
Isn't that much, but it's a lot more than my six. So I cheesed a little bit, and I may or may not have used a second copy in some way. To give myself all three starters. So I have a Wartortle, I have an Ivysaur, and I have a Charmeleon right now that I'm like training. But this is okay. Also, this is old school, right? So this is before team share. So everyone only gets the, like, if you're not in battle, you don't like you only get your solo XP. How you land on that, Dotto? Are you an old school head, or do you like prefer XP share?
No, I like that. I like XP share on everybody because it just makes it easier. I like when you capture Pokemon, I like that you get EXP because I think that incentivizes catching Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I'm for all that stuff, I think.
Anywho, these are a lot of Johns, but basically, all my Pokemon are in the 20s. Well, this kid is just obsessed with Charizard. And he asked me, Dad, when will he evolve? And I told him, I'm not sure, kid. I think it's like 40. I obviously knew it was 36, but I wanted him to be surprised. So when he got to level 36, you know, it evolved. Anyways, he's just continuing to use Charizard, and he's so far behind. He's only like on the fourth gym, and he has a level 47 Charizard. So like types don't matter to him because he's just so overpowered for everything he's doing right now. And so he knows the typings, right? He's played a lot. And so he saw my Wartortle. He's like, oh no, Dad. He's like, you're going to get me. And I'm like, brother, you got 20 levels on me. You're about to type disadvantage, kill me. And guess what? Yes, he one-shots my... He's like, what? He's losing his mind and stuff, which, I mean, it was a ton of fun, but I'm like, I told him, like, dude, I'm doing this so you can see the battle, but, like, I know how this is going to go. I hadn't seen how much he had played. I didn't know he had leveled up that much more. And when I saw he had a level 47, I was like, holy shit, I'm getting washed today, bro. Like,
nah, I'm crying at the fact bro tried to like soften the blow against losing to his own kid. He was like, I just want you to know, like, this was some bullshit, bro. Like, I'm not going to say it straight up, but like, this is fucking cheating.
Anyway. Yeah. So I got washed because he has a level 40, dude. And the thing is like, he's still rocking like a 12, a third level 13, level 12. Like if his Charizard dies, like he's done. Like he hasn't really let like anyone else, like honestly, the fact that he's level 47 and he's only at the fourth gym, pretty impressive. Cause it's a slow XP drip right now. Cause he and I are at the same gym. We both recently beat, what is it? Surge, Lieutenant Surge, I think is
yeah, the third gym.
Yeah. We're both at the fourth gym, but he just like, he has not tried to spread XP. He is just soloed Charizard. And so anyways, so I'm like so excited because when we're done with this, I'm going to jump us immediately, I think, to Soul Silver and Heart Gold, which means I will have to purchase a copy of Heart Gold because which is not going to be fun. I don't know if you looked at that, but those are not very cheap.
No, yeah, that's probably a pricey one.
It's a very pricey one. I had Soul Silver. I bought it even though I didn't have a DS because I was just in, a Best Buy one time and it was like on sale. And I said, you know what? Sure, man, I'll do this. Oh, is this legit? I can get a heart gold for $120.
That's still a lot of money. That's double fucking $60, dude.
I know.
But actually, that's kind of becoming just standard gaming pricing. It kind of worked its way down.
I won't lie, I thought it would be more because, again, as you've heard, I think I'm talking about this podcast, and Dotto's definitely heard me talk about Coliseum and XD are like $300 GameCube games. So I halfway expected Heart Gold to be like just that, as much as that. So I'm actually semi-impressed that it's not. I'm like almost questioning whether this is. So do people are getting really good. They can manufacture their own like GameCube games. So I'm just wondering if they can manufacture their own DS games as well. Because... like you can buy Fire Red, but it's a like they've remade the box, they've remade the cartridge, they've done it all for like a pretty solid price. So I'm like almost wondering if that's what this is. I don't know. Let me know if you're into that scene. Let me know. Can they do that with DS games? Is that something they could actually do? I don't
know. I think they can. Or maybe not DS. I know Game Boy. That's huge in Game Boy stuff.
No, by the time this is up, the Switch 2, we will have either pre-ordered
or it's tonight, dude. It's tonight. Like, we're recording it on Switchmas Eve, bro.
Well, I wasn't going to let them fully in on when we were doing this. But
okay, nah, bro. Why not, bro? Because this is the pod. This is, like, right before, bro. Like,
so
I want people to know because I'm thinking, like, I might not get it, bro. I don't know why. I feel it in my soul. I'm going to try, but I can feel the background character energy, bro. Like, I know I'm not him. Like, for some reason, when the PS5 was coming out, I knew I was him. I was like, there's no way I don't get it. And I got it. And now I feel like my time has come. Like, I'm going to get fucked here.
I got my PS5, too, like, on the day that the pre-orders went up. But I... Dude, I'm also in a weird spot because... I'm probably not going to pay scalper prices for one of these. Like, I'm just not doing it. I don't think. Are you? Will you pay?
I don't know. I don't want to give you an answer and try to grandstand when I could be sitting here with a Switch, you know?
What? Dude, what?
It's going to depend. Just Mario Kart, bro. I just want to be there.
Did you? So, you know, they were saying they were going to have a lot of these available. They were saying that. And then now it launched in Japan and... They're backtracking. Do you see this?
No, I did not.
So, you know, they said they were going to have plenty, but then this is an actual. So Goresh, the guy in the Dragon Ball community, translated a Switch Nintendo tweet from Japan. In Japan, the Nintendo Switch 2 is being sold via a raffle/lottery system due to inventory constraints. They've made it clear that there are many more people participating in the lottery than anticipated. 2.2 million people in Japan alone. And therefore, many fewer people than anticipated will be selected to be able to purchase the system when the results of the first lottery wave are announced tomorrow. People who did not get selected in the first wave will automatically be entered into the second wave, but even then, there is not a high chance of being selected due to demand being much higher than anticipated. But, like, they were touting that they had prepared for this. Like, the reason why, because I still think the Switch is supposed to come out in 2024. Like, I think Tears of the Kingdom was the swan song. And we were supposed to be getting a Switch either at the end of 2023 and the latest somewhere in 2024. And so they were saying part of the reasons the delay is because they were like trying to stockpile more stock. And now here we are. And I think it's still going to be a shit show. Were you going to try? Are you going to have everything pulled up? I think I'm going to try for Best Buy.
I think, see, that's what got me worried, bros. I genuinely pulled up Twitter and Best Buy is trending. No. I was also thinking Best Buy, but I might dual wield Best Buy. I might throw Walmart on there. Honestly, like, I might need you to just like give me like we might need to have a meeting of the minds on this shit because I'm not sure where I'm gonna check, but I'm gonna try my ass off. I will be there. I will be awake. What's today?
It is the 23rd. Pre-orders.
It's a Wednesday. No. It's a Wednesday. Most importantly, that's what I wanted to know. Like, because I don't got a job, bro. I have an edge. I can't lose on a Switch to a guy with a job. Like, no shot, right? I mean, he's got to go to bed. He's got to wake up.
I'll say, you know, especially like with Ashton Hall training the way he is. I mean, most people probably get up at 3 in the morning. You know what I mean? Like,
ooh, that's true. Everybody's got a rising grind, yep, bro.
Yep. Because, like, listen, man, when you stay up late, you make bad decisions, like buying Nintendo Switch 2s.
Oh, I just hope it goes according to plan, bro. I really don't want to fucking get fucked on this one, dude.
Are you excited to play Mario Kart? I was supposed to say Mario, but Mario Kart. Did you see they hinted that there is another 3? I'm like, oh yeah, dude, real great hint. You're gonna make another 3D Mario, one of your biggest cash cows. Okay, like, we know it's coming. Yeah, it's just, bro, 8 years is crazy.
I mean, if that's their hint, I mean, they don't need a hint at that. They could just, I know that they are. Just sometime this decade would be nice.
I get why they're not doing it, because they want to let Donkey Kong and Air Ride 2, which I saw. Dude, I'm sad I didn't get to join in on that Air Ride video, man.
Hey, man.
Attack. There's always next time. Nice, brother. Next, you're going to make another one?
Probably. I mean, it's a fun game.
I feel like that's like one of those one-offs, you know? People...
Oh, it should... No, it should be. It definitely... I shouldn't do another one.
Can't appreciate the one-off, man. They're like... Like, you'll make one video sometimes, and they're like, dude, when are you going to make the sequel? And it's like... You know, not everything. We don't need to like turn everything into this like capitalistic thing where it's just like, I'm going to make 100 of these. You know what I mean? Like,
wow. You really brought this like full circle, this podcast, huh?
Like sometimes like just appreciate the one-offs, you know what I mean? And it's like, mm-hmm. Sometimes people get mad about the one-off because they're like, well, you only did it for the views. And it's like, well, I didn't necessarily do it for the views, but like, I just did it. Cause like, I don't, not everything needs to be a series. You know what I mean? Like sometimes Not everything needs to be a series. Speaking of series, Dotto.
Mm-hmm.
Are we? I think we're gonna have a change to one of our series.
Oh, true. I forgot about this. I didn't know where you were going with this. I was like, there's no way we're getting into another conversation 50 minutes in. But like, but yes. Do you want to say it or should I, bro?
I mean, I think we can just both say it. We've had
a well, so that so the way we're no, yeah, you can keep going. I think
I think it's pretty obvious. I think it's pretty obvious to most of you guys. So hang on. I just want to gather my thoughts here. I still really enjoy doing the rewatch, and I am vowing to complete the rewatch because I want that to be a piece of content that exists. But I think we are going to change the foundation of what the rewatch is, and I believe it is going to become a bonus exclusive thing. To where
mostly, not all the time, It's going to be like a. I heard a few people flinch out there. The Z rewatch has all flinched.
I sounded like you were going to keep going there, but
No, I mean, I'll keep going. I just thought you were mid thing, but I was just saying, like, the way I was thinking we should do it, because I'm not going to lie, the reason I threw this at Nano is I really want to be able to title and flow in our podcast a little more current, a little more, you know, just whatever we want. I don't want to have to like always think about the rewatch, and I think I learned that over Daima and over the course of just this, and also just looking at, you know, the stuff people are actually watching on the Key Moments channel. It's very rarely like when we're watching a filler episode of Z and people tune in and they want to hear us talk about the filler episode of Z, but I do think we should finish it, and it will probably still be on the podcast. So what we're thinking is, you know, how we would record the episodes and then go into the podcast, we'll still do that. But we'll get most of our talking about the episode out before the actual episode. And then what we do watch is just going to bleed into the normal podcast.
Yeah.
Sometimes more than others is kind of what I'm thinking. It's just, it gives us an out on some of those really fucking boring episodes, dude. Those 1 out of 10s, those filler fights, it gives us an out. It gives us an opportunity to not say, hey, guess we're gonna have to talk about this for 50 fucking minutes.
Yeah, it's not even so much that. It's like, or well, I guess it is some of that. But I think the biggest thing is like the way we were structuring. I think the other thing too. I guess I'm fumbling on our words here. We started this podcast technically 2 years ago. Like we recorded the first episode of this podcast like 2 years ago, and times have just kind of like changed. And we were doing this like sort of in a echo chamber, or not an echo chamber, but like in a very contained space. We didn't really know how this would be received, and now that we've done it for a while, I don't know, I almost really like the idea. When we started talking about this, I like the idea of doing it immediately after the episodes, instead of like we're gonna hop into a podcast and we're gonna talk for a bit and then we're gonna get back to the episodes. Instead, it's just this like immediate discussion with the episodes as fresh as possible, like on our minds. And that's like the bonus. So the bonus isn't just purely reaction. It is also a bit of a podcast in there too. That part also excites me. But yeah, I think the whole idea of like half the podcast or more, we're just going to sit here and I'm going to tell you that Zarbon beat down Vegeta, and at the same time, Krillin and Gohan are over here doing this and this and this. Like the numbers don't lie. We could see people weren't like, and for those of you that were core to it, it's still going to exist. It just will exist in a different way. But people were not really tapping in to hear me recap episode 54 of Dragon Ball Z. So just
I think it's not something that makes a lot of sense to do in a podcast. I think our worst moments on the podcast are when we're just walking through the shit that we already saw. Yeah. Like we just saw, we might as well cut that section out, talk about it. And if we want to talk about it some more on the podcast, we can. But at least allows us to just talk. Like we just like to talk about current shit, talk about the things we just saw, keep it more free form. And less so structured. Weighed down.
Yeah, by the Z rewatch. And the last thing I want to add, because I see comments about this all the time, this was never just purely a Z rewatch podcast. I think the way we always refer to it, Z rewatch, like, it's never been in the branding. It's never been the idea of it, though, was kind of sort of to dip our toes in the idea of bonus content, because we were so new to all this. And it was sort of the backbone, because like what Dotto was saying is like when we watch the Legendary Super Saiyan episode or Goku goes Super Saiyan, yeah, that's probably going to bleed over into the main pod. There's no way we're not going to, like, we just watched what is peak Dragon Ball Z. That's still going to be talked about, but like I'm probably not going to break down the three episodes we watched that day in podcast form where I'm telling you about all the things and all of that. So anyways, that's just kind of like an update on that for those that keep asking about it. It will continue. It just, yeah, we also had a few things going on right now, so we couldn't quite do Z Rewatch. And also I really enjoy doing Z Rewatch in person more so than over Discord anyway. I don't know if you can agree to that, but I do. The in person.
I mean, I think what's mostly crazy is like how I can't even hear you over this music right now. Like we had all that talk, but I now it's like, now that I'm thinking about it, like truly, like we can Z Rewatch whenever we want. Like this music is just getting way too fucking loud for me to even hear you.
Damn. Bye.